Greetings, pals!
Greetings, pals!
Greetings, pals.
How are you?
I'm great, pal. How are you?
I'm great. My name's Frank.
My name's Marcus.
My name is Tom.
This is the podcast Throwing the Pow. We're loving and debating and talking about movies.
Oof. Yeah. In that order. Not a lot of prepositions, not a lot of articles.
Precious pup over
there. We just tend to throw in verbs.
Yeah. Love it or hate it, we debate it. Sorry.
Is that Precious Pup?
Yes.
The cartoon. The
today we're talking about. Yeah. Today we're talking about Booksmart.
It's from the racing animated show, isn't
2019,
it? 2019. Speed Racer.
Directed by Olivia Wilde.
Yep.
Starring Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein.
Jesus, what did Beanie do?
It is.
You sound so mad.
I was about to say Bernie.
Oh.
And when you
corrected, you got angry about it.
At myself.
But okay. Also, it is a very unique name.
Yes.
Not one that I was prepared for when I read it.
No, I was like, Sarah Hill?
Sure.
Jonah Hill's sister?
It is Jonah
Hill.
Oh,
is she actually Sarah Hill?
But she's Jonah Hill's sister.
Oh, that, yeah. Okay.
Beanie
that.
Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't call a kid Beanie Hill.
Or Beanie Baby.
Or Benny Hill. On Throwing the Power, we rate movies out of 11. Why is that?
Why is that, Tom?
Well, since watching this movie many years ago, 11 is the amount of times a week I try to find an opportunity to confront someone who has betrayed me and yell "J'accuse!" at them the way that Noah Galvin does in this film.
Because so you've done that 11 times?
I tried.
Since 2019.
Are you saying I haven't? Are you betraying me?
Hey, Frank.
J'accuse!
Yes. Frank, I don't know if this is episode 90-something. I think that's how we're getting close. I think Tom's only really had maybe two good 11s ever.
I think we would have dropped it if they were good.
I think it was a good bit once and we're like, continue it. And it just...
The bit of them being bad and then occasionally they're either insightful and you guys are bowled over. Like, oh my God, he did it. Or they're occasionally kind of funny, but most of the time you're just like, what did we expect?
Yeah, we'll let the listener decide if they're funny.
Yeah. Right into our Instagram.
Yeah, throw in the power at Instagram. Tell us, Tom, are you funny?
I said occasionally.
Yeah, even that's fucking...
Shuckuse!
Sorry. Language.
Booksmart.
Booksmart. Okay, shout your name if you like this film.
Tom.
Marcus. Interesting.
I told you I thought he was going to do this.
He did. He's done the De Niro face too, which means...
A little bit. He likes it a little bit.
That wasn't De Niro.
What was that?
Just cool man. It's a cool dude. Very cool.
Hey, Frank, let's start with your score. I want to know.
Yeah, okay. Let's give me a number. Give me a number. I'm going to give you a little 4.5.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
Numbers.
Marcus called me and was like, "We're all going to like this movie. Why did you pick it?" And I said, "I think Frank might not." And I was like, "I don't know why. I couldn't
but
actually."
You don't know him. Does he call you at home? Do you have a Dosafin?
I say just not like I say, "Aka aka," and he's up on the tail.
And I quote him.
You guys have done this bit
and
before.
You can quote him.
And I still don't know what this is from.
Captain's Log. Did that give you any clues?
Oh, is it Ace Ventura?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
great. I've barely seen
Great. The greatest comedy of all
Whatever.
Time.
Yeah, Tom, okay. Do you want to go on me?
Give me a number.
9.5.
Wow.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
How are you going?
Hi.
Yeah, good. 8.5.
Yeah, okay. Number 5, 8.5, 4.5.
Yeah.
Big gap in the middle.
Big old gap with a big old belly.
Getting personal?
Yep.
Put down the drink. All right. I want to say, do you know what's fantastic about this film?
Go on.
Caitlin and Beanie.
They are.
Two stars.
Obviously.
The two girls.
They're wonderful in this
Caitlin
film.
Diva. Deva? Diva? Diva?
I think
Diva?
It's Diva. I believe it's Diva.
I like Diva. Have you seen her in Dope Sick?
No.
Holy wow. She plays a girl who gets addicted to the painkillers and then like is, you know, a drug fiend.
Is
and has
Michael Keaton in that?
That's the Michael Keaton one.
Yeah.
There's the other version, Painkiller, with Matthew Broderick as the head of the family.
Right.
That's awful. Okay. Well, not awful, but comparatively.
Sure.
And she's great in
She's so good in that. And then she's in Dear Evan Hansen, which I'm sure she's good in. I've not seen it. And I'm
no one's
happy
that.
With that choice. Everyone's seen the pictures of Ben Platt. Okay. She's fantastic. Yeah. I could not get over her. I'm assuming improv. I'm assuming emotionality.
I think there's a big mix in there is the feeling of improv and scripted.
And scripted,
yeah.
And then Beanie Feldstein, I have seen in the American History or whatever it's called, where she plays Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, really?
I'd seen her in that, and then I saw this. That's all I've seen her in.
Interesting.
I think she's very funny, but I could not get past, and we're going to talk about it, I'm sure, the Superbad parallel.
So here's what I want to say. The most reductive thing we could say about this film is that it is Superbad for girls, or Gen Z Superbad for girls.
Mm-hmm.
It does have moments where you'd have to be an idiot to not see the comparison.
The story, however, is so similar. When the cops rocked up at the party,
yeah,
I was like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
There's got to be – and I don't know. It feels very different.
Mm.
But the fact that it's Jonah Hill's sister and then the storyline is so similar.
It has an Apatow flavor to it.
Like, it does have an Apatow flavor.
It's continuation of that sort of
– it's got a maturity to it as well.
The dialogue, I think, is better. I liked the chemistry of the actresses.
It depends
better.
What you're trying to get out. I mean, if you're into dick jokes and that sort of early 2000s humor, that we really, when you're a young boy watching Superbad, of course you're going to get everything out of that. Having watched this now, I can see the comparisons, but I enjoyed this far more for very different reasons.
Yeah, I think this will
because of
age
the maturity.
Better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It takes the tropes from Superbad and every other teen film, the sort of like the, you know, we are halted on the way to the thing cliche trope.
It's the well, – but you mentioned hero's journey recently. What would you call this?
Yeah.
Hurdles journey? Steeplechase.
Oh, because there's so many obstacles.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah. Oh, you could call it an obstacle course.
Stories to my other love, sports. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It makes me understand these things a lot better.
You've been watching the Australian Open?
You're right.
Talk about rivalry.
Not. Djokovic did something. Was it good?
God, shut up.
Okay. So there's
– he just goes on and on about sport.
Yeah, that's all I do. There's a lot going on, I think, there with the comparison between this film and earlier films in its lineage, right? Whether it's the Superbad movies or what have you. And then – but the movies that the writers of this film talk about – there are four scripted writers of this film, and I truly, I'm sorry, like Sarah Banks, I think, is one of the earliest ones, but the latest one was Katie Silberman, who took a crack at it at like 2018, and she apparently kind of really modernized it and brought a lot of the sort of current stuff to it. And like you were saying, Marcus, and like you were saying before, Frank, they often on set would just be like, if you don't think your character would talk this way, you give us something. Like, try to give us something that fits in that mold. And
yeah.
I do think that this film has a spontaneity to it and a kindness to it, even though everyone is pretty catty with each other, like, and is very, like, can be quite nasty. But my favorite, the moment this movie shows that it's going to subvert what you expect of a film of this is when Beanie's character, who is Amy.
Molly,
sorry.
Other way
it's
around.
Molly and Amy. Molly comes out of the bathroom after AAA and the two guys have been talking about her.
Yeah.
And they've been like, they called her a butter personality, which is funny, by the way. Like, she's like a butter face, but for personality, you want to put a bag over her personality. One, something that's interesting about that scene is that Beanie's obviously a bigger girl, but no one in that film is making fat jokes. No one in that film
they
is
They don't
pointing
reference
out.
It ever.
And they're like, I'm attracted to her. And that's like a thing that truly even 5 years earlier, she literally played the friend in Lady Bird, a movie that I love and think is perfect. But the point of Beanie being in that film is that there is like a component of her weight versus Saoirse Ronan's, you know, and the way that that's played. But anyway, she comes out of the bathroom after these people have been talking about her. And she's like, oh, don't stuff on my behalf. You know, I've got a whole filing cabinet in my pussy. And when I'm off to like Harvard next year, and you guys are all back here, I hope you like your choices. And AAA's like, I'm going to Harvard as well.
Mm.
We're all going to good schools. You don't get this cathartic moment to tell us off.
Yeah.
You've played it wrong. And the movie immediately becomes about this isn't – no high school is like that anymore, where there's 90% of the kids are all dropkicks who don't give a fuck and don't get to go to good schools, and there's the 10% nerds who really No, that's not how high school works. It didn't work that way for me, or I'm sure it didn't work that way for you guys. Anyone could be the smartest
Humble
person.
Don't compare me to you at high
Such
school.
An
Sorry,
elitist.
I know you guys,
fucking nerd.
You guys were there 15 years before me, but when if you can remember your high school.
I just kept repeating the whole time. Me.
So anyway, it's an interesting high school film in that it does allow those barriers to vanish in
it
that
It feels
moment.
Like the first film that you've seen in a set in a high school that isn't like that. And you go, oh, Yeah. Yeah, that's how the real world works, yes. Right?
And
because I was really smart and a jock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a drama kid. Mm-hmm. Sure. And I think I had a lot of friends.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I resonated for sure.
My mum definitely told you that. Is that the sort of thing?
Your mum
told me. Whatever, it's a bit. Didn't work.
It could be doing a bit more. Definitely,
they really set up that moment as well, quite well, just prior to it, by saying that the whole thing with the school is the students don't tell each other where they're going.
Mm. They've made this agreement with each other that they're not going to reveal,
which is kind of a weird thing that like across the board everyone's sort of agreed to that.
I wonder if that happens in real life because it might be like a.
Maybe.
You know, if you are trying so hard to get into a good school or whatever and you don't, then it's like, oh, well, yeah. I guess I'm a failure and then kids
beat
themselves up. I kind
of get it. But this is where it's easy now for haters of this film to jump in and say, this is some woke nonsense bullshit, right? Where, you know, of course this is about a school where everyone doesn't want to hurt each other's feelings, so they can't say where they're going, or everyone's uber intelligent and they're all sort of like very switched on and, you know, acting above their age and they're all, you know, old souls and that sort of thing as well.
It's true.
I could see how this is an easy target as well if you're going in with the wrong mindset.
But they still, I know what you're saying, but they still do. I said just before that it's a happier kind of film, but they're still mean to each other. They still bully each other in this movie. They're just not the typical targets. No one makes fun of the two gay guys who stand up and do the, what does he call them? Fellow ladies and gentlemen or fellow classmates, whatever he does. Noah Galvin, and he follows it up with like, I swear to God, to get them to pay attention. Like, he's so funny. I love Noah Galvin. Yeah. You don't like Noah Galvin, Frank?
I didn't love him. I think the criticism I've read online is not that I agree with it, but it's like, oh, of course Noah Galvin's in this and he's a twink and like way too camp
over
the top.
Lean into it.
Well, I was kind
of the twink you want to see in the world, you know?
Twinkie? Yum.
Twinkie Bill.
Hey.
We're going to do more with twink. Twink 40 twinks.
I thought he was fine. I liked his Alanis Morissette.
Oh, it was great. Caitlin Devers.
I didn't think, yes. That's how she got the role in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh, good.
Because, you know, Noah Galvin played Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway.
He did indeed. And there's a whole thing in this group that we're going to get into in a little bit because it's a big thing. But I do think the fact that
with a mic.
Singing Broadway.
I've called her AAA a couple of times, which is mean, but her character is...
It's in the script, they refer to her as
AAA.
Okay.
But the fact I can't remember her real name is my thing. I'm just it's AAA. But it's played by Molly Gordon. And so that character gets bullied. You know, she gets slut-shamed.
She's called AAA on IMDb.
Yeah, no, literally, I don't think that she... No, she must say her name.
And then Beanie says her name and she's like, Jesus, not now. Not now.
Annabelle?
Maybe Annabelle. It's an A.
Okay, whatever. AAA. Anyway.
AAA. This is what I'm saying. It's just like, it's a film in which I think there is a sincerity and maybe an overswing in some degrees to which you could say this feels a bit utopian, this feels a little unrealistic, as much as it's destroying those earlier stereotypes of high school. Now it's building up a version of it that's not likely or a little too representative and people are a little too nice when they show up to the party.
And too comfortable in their own skin.
And just everyone gets along. Everyone loves
each
other.
And everyone's so happy to see them at the party.
But I love that shit. I think that's so heartwarming.
Also, I think most people, like, we've all gone to parties, right? You remember this? Generally, even if it's a big group, people are in good spirits. They're happy to see people. And then it's not like, so Nick is the guy she's there to see that Molly's into, right? And they're getting along, like, oh, they're going to hook up. That's way too perfect.
Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert, Nick hooks up with
Ryan.
Ryan, who's the girl that Amy is, like, the two leads have their love interests.
Yeah.
And the two love interests.
Their two crushes hook up.
Which is. You could say that's predictable, but I didn't see it coming when I first watched it.
Shocked.
And I immediately was like, I don't honestly think I've seen a movie do that recently. Where it's like,
I agree.
You know, something like that might happen, but then it's like, bam, two birds, one stone. And it's quite upsetting.
Because the interesting thing of that is.
The lead up to it as well.
Yeah. You don't know if that other girl is a lesbian. There's no mention of sexuality, but we've assumed, right? Because. Amy's a lesbian. She's talking to her. She's into her.
Yeah.
Like, she's made the assumption.
She
also, at some point,
says, how do you know she's gay? And they say she came dressed as something for Halloween once, but I can't remember. It's a good bit, but I can't remember. But, yeah, there is a more open conversation about
way to ruin a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came dressed as...
As something.
I don't know the punchline. Rufus Wainwright?
This is talking about the complications, of course, of trying to come out at this age as well, you know? Because you don't know. There's no, like, real open network for you to sort of explore and whatever. So She's in like open water, basically.
Mm. Which is where she's in when she dives into the water in that scene.
Which is my favorite scene in the whole film.
Really good scene.
Because they shoot a pool scene and they don't over-sexualize it at all.
That's true. The movie is really...
It's shot so well.
It's not a very gazy movie. Yeah. No. Olivia Wilde kills it.
This is a great debut.
Yes. I think it's remarkable how well
and
she did with this
film. Terrible follow-up.
Yeah. Don't look now. Don't look, don't darling. Worry, darling. Don't, darling. Don't do it, darling.
No.
Hold on.
I will say...
This song... Yeah. See, the soundtrack to this fucking movie is insane.
Mm.
Perfume Genius, Slip Away. At the end of the film, you've got that incredible Run the Jewels song when they're in the car. I love this song.
And we can't get more than 30 seconds.
But we'll just listen to it without saying anything because we just like it.
See, this is so atmospheric, right? They're under the water and it's so like drawn out. She gives you a lot of time to really take that in and to feel what Amy is feeling and to think about it. It's
as a device,
it's a bold
film,
move.
It's an excellent song. It's not a song that I gravitate to. It's not music that I'm super into at all.
It's not Chris Cornell, is it?
But like... This is kind of great, and it fits the entire sort of feeling.
It's perfect. It has that burst in the chorus that feels exactly like just that, like the hormonal thing of getting in that pool, and then just the really tragic way, like the harpsichord sort of trickles off as she notices it's Ryan and
it's deployed
old mate kissing.
I was just going to say on an earlier point, like I remember with my high school college years how we as a group, especially because we went to a joint high school college. So we went from year 7 all the way through to year 12. And you notice the, as you growing up together, how you do eventually get to a point where, yeah, the nerdy kids in year 12 turned up to a party and they weren't bullied this time. It's like everyone sort of celebrates them in the strangest way.
Mm.
Like,
happy
holy
that
shit, like that guy's here. And that
person, Tom came.
And all of a sudden they have their moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, is that kid?
Oh, I heard him.
No.
It's all right. But I'm not the one insisting I had friends.
Even though this is a...
I did lots of them. I still have lots of friends.
This is a complete generational gap for me, but I still could relate and I could still feel that as a 35-year-old male. I watched this and I felt that feeling and I was like, this is kind of really nice.
Yeah.
So
it does the clickless aspect of high school.
It does and it doesn't.
In a way that a movie... I don't remember a teen movie doing it as well, where it just, because the point of 90s teen movies, literally you've got those scenes in Clueless and 10 Things I Hate About You, movies I like to love. I love 10 Things as we all do. But it's like David Krumholtz being like, let me introduce you to all the cliques. Yeah. They all dress exactly the same. Yeah. It became a bit that there were
cliques are still there.
They are to
some still
degree.
There. But it's the maturity. It's the fact that they've grown together and the cliques will net. Everyone has their unique identity.
Yeah, but it's intersectional. You're right. People still hang out with the groups they hang out with, but then they become. It's the end of Mean Girls, where all the plastics have disbanded and they're all part of different groups.
It's like a Venn diagram of cliques.
And that's a big part of, like, Katie Silverman, like she said when she was thinking about, like, I'm thinking of someone else at the moment. But anyway, there are movies like that. I truly am. There are movies like that that you can tell would have had a more feminine gaze and a more feminine perspective on it. And that's what this movie is. Like you say, Marcus, it's not sexualized at all. Not even in a sort of vengeful, like, haha, now the women have the camera, let's sexualize the boys. Like, it doesn't even
There's even a somewhat sex scene, you know, or an attempt at it.
Yeah.
And it's still... delivers that with sincerity.
That scene's great.
Without being comical or making a mockery of the situation either.
Yeah.
Because you end up, you know, she spews all over her.
This is Caitlin Dever and Diana Silva's character, who I can't remember her name.
Mm. Hope.
Hope. She's meaner than I would have liked.
Yeah,
honestly,
I agree.
If I could give a note, I'd be like, she needs to dial it back like 15% when Caitlin Dever walks in the room and Hope's just like, you fucking suck and no one likes you. You're like,
yeah, yeah, it is a lot, but I like the fact that she has that dynamic because otherwise the whole film's too light on then.
Yeah, she needs it. She needs that little bit of spice.
Because it's a defense mechanism for her, right?
Yeah, and if she came into the bathroom and the other girl was like, no, we're so glad you're here, and that's the whole sentiment of everyone. Yeah. It's like, okay, boring.
It's the pulling on the pigtails equivalent. Well, it is. Like,
setting?
Do you let go of my pigtails?
Treat a man, keep him keen. It's that whole, like, the, you know, you pick on the girl because you're into her sort of thing.
Yeah. He's just not that into you.
Sure.
Didn't you ever used to go to the farm?
The farm.
Pull on the pigtails.
Come on.
Just to, like.
Come on.
There's Wilbur.
You knew I grew up on a farm.
That wasn't a bad little script.
Dairy farm. It's cows. It's very different. Oh my gosh. Who's
Why are they called pigtails? Because pigtails are curly.
Oh my god.
But hair pigtails.
Because they're straight and they have a little tuft at the end.
I guess. Is that what you think of when
legit.
Yeah. Most pigtails aren't actually curly. Tom. That's like a genetic defect.
You asked the question, you got the answer. Shut up.
Speaking of genetic defect, Tom.
That's funny. So mean. But
can I say
I'm going to be mean to you this episode. I'm bullying you to make up for the lack of bullying.
Can I say that the first 40 minutes of this film I almost didn't buy into. I found it very slow paced. I found it very, like, I was almost worried I wasn't going to be into this movie. It didn't hit the notes for me up until the point where they go to the first party, which is effectively the wrong party.
The boat.
And yes. The boat. And I was and the attempt at humor, because of the high energy between these two characters, can you remind me the name of them?
What, Molly and Amy or Jared and Gigi?
Jared and Gigi.
We're going to have to come back to that. Thanks for all the work you put into this movie, by the way, Frank. I really appreciate it.
You're great at this movie.
I think you did a fantastic... Skylar Gazondo is such a weird alias, but yeah. I'm okay because it's so outlandish. You're like, well, that's not a real person. That's just Frank.
I kind of wasn't into the humor of him and the setting and the rich boy sort of party yacht thing. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm quite there.
It didn't land for me to begin. I liked him later on, but
he grows on me.
But I think his growth was a bit like, why are you nice now? Or why are you normal now? It sort of came out of nowhere.
Did it?
Yeah. It's just at that party. Well, he goes, I'm actually a virgin. And you're like, what? Why is Tom talking? No, come on.
I'm seeing the biggest problem and I'm glad we're here because I was like, there's got to be a big distinction between your score, Frank, but even you and I, Marcus. Mm, mm. I think he's so funny. He walks into a room and I start laughing in this. But like the second he comes into the classroom and he's like, Miss Fine, got your present. I'm not even your teacher. I've heard great things. Yeah. Like, he's immediately, I'm like, the funniest dude. He's wearing a shirt with his face on it. Oh my God. He picks them up. Right. He's like, absolutely, ladies.
This is that comedy role that if you, again, haven't bought into from the start, you're going to struggle with.
Yes, this is my Chris Tucker. This is my version of a Rod Rudy, whatever the fuck, from The Fifth Element.
Ruby Rod.
This is my Ruby Rod. I get that it's not for everyone. It makes me laugh nonstop.
No, yeah, you saying that, I go, oh, that's a funny line, but it just, I don't know, for some, maybe he says it too fast.
He's so,
like,
no, it concerned me. I'm with you because, again, the first half of that film, it was like, it's so close.
And then you have moments with Molly and Amy and they're so funny and they're like, oh my God, you're glowing. Oh, you're so radiant.
She was the problem. I think Gigi,
Gigi can be a bit much. It's not his sister.
The character is weird.
No.
I don't think it's his sister. They're kind of just like linked in a non-romantic sort of way.
It feels very Cruel Intentions in the weirdest way. But not.
You know, that's Billie Lord, who's Carrie Fisher's only daughter. Which is interesting.
I would not have known that.
And she's you know, very clearly in that sort of crowd where she could have at 15 just been like, I want to be in movies. And they would have been like, yeah, done. What do you want to be in? Like she was in Star Wars, Last Jedi and stuff like that. She's okay in this. Sometimes I think she's funny. Sometimes I'm like, it's a little much.
The bit of her reappearing and, oh, Gigi, how'd you get here? It doesn't. I'm like, get out. Go away.
I like when she...
What does she bring? Like, what does she add to the story, to the narrative, to the content? Because she has no moment of redemption,
really. She's not detrimental, but she definitely...
She's not beneficial.
She's jarring.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. She makes me laugh in a couple of moments. Maybe the biggest ones are when she takes them into the cupboard and turns the light on and she's just being very serious with them and then tells them that they're tripping. And then later on when she shows up at the last party and she's just so blasé about the fact that, like, yeah, I'm here. Who gives a shit? Like, this of course I'm here.
Nice link. Can we talk about the animation sequence in this as
Great part.
When they become Barbies and they're tripping on pills.
Where is my vag? I have no vag.
Again.
How do I piss? How do I shit? Great sequence.
This is, a sequence that if someone had have shown me this on paper, I would have gone, nope, absolutely not.
I agree.
And it works.
It really works.
Because you're so locked into the rhythms of how these girls speak to each other and how they deal with something in a frantic manner. The second they're animated, you're so keen to see how they're going to like change and adopt to it or adapt to it. The fucking, she's got a corn piece in her hand, right? It's like a prop of the doll. And then so when she's trying to climb up, Amy needs to put her hole into Molly's high heel. And she's like, which hole? Your cornhole. And I'm like, the day someone wrote that, they must have just been like, I'm taking the week off. I fucking killed it. It's I made joke. A good cornhole joke in 2019. It's funny. I think it's great. I love when Caitlyn Dever starts becoming sort of bimbo-ish and getting into it.
Yeah, she's like, this is bad. I know this is bad, but I feel
kind
amazing.
Of like it. I think like I might stay here for a while. Like very funny.
And then I like, because I think it's so hard to do drug trip on screen, right? It's always like the psychedelic colors and, you know, ooh, wow.
I think that now that music. We've seen Leo in Wolf of Wall Street, I think that we've hit peak for drug trip. Do you know what I mean?
I do kind of agree with that, because there's so many ways in which that movie films his, I swear this will just be said, but like where it shows him looking downstairs when he's paralytic and he's like, I'll just roll down these stairs, and it looks like eight stairs, and then he rolls for like an hour and gets to the bottom and looks back up them like, what the fuck was that? Like everything about his perspective is so warped in a really mundane but upsetting way.
Yeah.
That drug trip is amazing.
And so circling back, I agree. This is a way that this could have been very cliched or very uninteresting or not overly unique. And still they kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, this is good.
In the strangest way.
And I like to snap back to them walking out as humans.
Yeah.
But as physically Barbies. Like, yeah, Barbies. That's good.
Great.
Yeah. I think everything about the fact that it's a film that when this original script was written, I don't know, you want a Butler's Pantry? Is it too early?
Yeah, it's way too early, but right. Whatever. The Butler in a pantry with a mic. Oh.
The Butler's Pantry. Tom just used the mic to wipe his nose.
That was disgusting.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you do when you've got a booger and you've got your hands full?
Are there tissues in this pantry?
You came into here with poo on your shirt, I will say, to this record today.
Why not?
And we could cut this if you want.
Oh, poopy shirt.
Oh, poopy shirt. What's this?
Booger mic.
Oh.
I did not. That I said that might be poo. And I have a child and this is what happens. Yeah. That makes me relatable, right?
But it was your second shirt you put on.
So no. Don't you try and shit shame me.
Mark Wahlberg and Booger Mike's.
Shit shame. And Marcus.
Marcus has been thinking about this booger joke.
I had something there. I was like, I'm sitting on
something. Friendly metrosexual lumberjack.
Friendly?
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Hey.
I'm plenty friendly.
Back in the pantry.
The pantry. I would say here is, to start with, when this film was written in 2008, it had a lot more of a typical vibe to it. Apparently, the original draft had the girls trying to get boyfriends for prom.
Yeah.
Which is the most... kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Frank's turned into a Barbie doll and now he's...
Okay. My pills are kicking in.
But yeah, they were trying to get boyfriends for the prom, right? And then by the time the script rolled around 10 years later, they were like, well... You know, inclusivity, maybe one of them's gay, and also maybe they're not trying to get boyfriends or girlfriends for the prom. Maybe they're just realizing that the way that they've spent their entire high school life has been based upon a presupposition from other films. You know, it's almost like other movies have informed the way they should behave, and the movie 20 minutes in goes, why have you been doing this whole time?
Yeah.
Which I think is
go
interesting.
Go and have fun. Enjoy it.
Exactly. What I think is interesting about this movie is that even though it wasn't that successful, it was actually a bit of a, like, it was a cheap movie. It cost like $6-7 million to make, and it made 20 or 25 million.
25.
Not very much. And people were expecting more. I think J.J. Abrams even at one point was like, this movie should be doing better. The industry's dead. And then COVID happened and everything's
so
fine.
So it's interesting that J.J. Abrams is even commenting on this film in the weirdest way.
It was big because as an industry film, you've got Olivia Wilde, who's been operating within these circles for so long. She's married to Jason Sudeikis at the time.
Sure.
And so much SNL alum show up in this.
Yeah.
With Jason Sudeikis, Will Forte, Maya Rudolph is doing the voiceover at the start that Beanie's listening to.
Yep.
It's Mike O'Brien.
Mike O'Brien is the pizza guy.
Who's one of the biggest freaks that has ever been in the SNL orbit. I love that guy. He's so
outstanding.
Weird. Yeah, the pizza guy who's...
Oh, the serial killer.
Yeah. He's like, do you know how dangerous that is?
And they've got their hair in front of their faces masks.
Do you even have a gun? Do you even have a weapon?
He's actually a serial killer and warns them against himself.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's still pretty funny.
It's kind of great.
That's how it goes. But yes, this movie, I think a lot of the affection I have for it is twofold. And if you guys thought you were already strapped in, you got to strap in because I'm going to do a little bit here. I'm so sorry.
I'll lean back.
You guys lean back. The first part is, I'll go the broader one, which is I think it has ushered in an interesting series of new films, right? So we have movies that have come out in the last 5 years that have been a similar bunch of people within the orbit of the comedy world, a lot of it like the New York comedy scene. And you have a lot of people that operate in these similar circles, right? One of them is Molly Gordon, who's AAA.
Yeah.
Molly Gordon also went on to be in the film Shiva Baby, which is directed by Emma Seligman and has Rachel Sennett in it. And the next movie Emma Seligman does is Bottoms from a couple of years ago with Rachel Sennett and Iowa Debris, right? And you've also got Theater Camp, my beloved Theater Camp, in there as well, yeah. Where you've got Ben Platt, Molly Gordon, who's also directing, and she's also got Iowa Debris in there. You've also got the movie Bodies, 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 which I haven't seen. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
No.
But it's Rachel Sennett, and it's also got like Pete Davidson in it and whatever. But there's kind of like an interesting brand of these type of movies coming out, and I really love them. And I see Booksmart as sort of the inception point for so much of this. This comedy where it's Gen Z humor done by the youngest millennials. They're not quite Gen Z, but they're kind of pretending to be. In this movie, obviously, none of these kids would have been young enough to be in high school, but a lot of them are in their early 20s, and now most of them in their late 20s, early 30s. And I think it's a fun and vibrant and spontaneous and interesting thing.
It's a Gen Z perception, right?
It is. Yeah. I think this movie felt very Gen Z, but at the same time, when I watched it, and my second fold of this is, I watched it in 2019. I know this is going to sound very dramatic, but where we are right now, 6 years later, and we're about to experience a bit of a deja vu of shit happening in America. And at the end of 2019, it kind of felt like we were just getting to a point where maybe it might be done soon. And this movie felt like a great time for a celebration of that, of the more vibrant and progressive and more fucking inclusive aspects of culture, especially in America. And it was also the last time I could watch a high school movie and almost kind of relate to it. I was 25, 26, and I was like, this. These guys are kind of my age making this movie and pretending that they're still in high school. And that was very affectionate for me. I might have told you guys this. I can't remember if I did. This was my favorite movie for a few years. Ever.
You've told me that.
This is my favorite movie of all time.
Countless times.
And I watched it so many times.
You've never mentioned it in a lot of pods.
Yeah, you don't ever talk about it.
Now like a 9.5. I have to admit the glow of it has sort of dimmed since then because the better movies have come out and there are parts of it I find annoying. But I was just so taken with this and how
refreshingly kind it
felt. Oh, my God. It felt so energizing in a way that I was just not ready for. And I just remember it got to the end of the last scene of, I don't have to be on my flight for ages. Want to get pancakes? Fuck yeah. Movie out. And I was like, that's a perfect
movie. Dude, I'm a jaded 35-year-old who loves 90s grunge, and I love this movie. So,
would anyone know that from looking at you, any of those
things?
No. Well. I've got no idea.
No, I know what you mean. I'm not saying that it's like, you guys don't get it. I'm not saying you guys don't get it because, you know, I'm a little younger than you. But it's just when I watched it at that time, it was like, why I could explain and look back and go, I really thought this was my favorite movie. I thought this was a perfect film. Hmm. Now I think it's really, 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 really good. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Took me two goes to watch it.
Okay.
So yeah, I just want to just contrast that.
That is truly, even for me, one of the biggest fucking tangents I've ever taken and like ripped off and just run away with. So do you want to tell us what do you really not like about this movie?
I just, we're going back to the start. I can't get away from the Superbad parallel and I found it a little recycled. Mm-hmm. And I just kept finding myself saying, oh, so it's like Superbad. And I was trying to get it. And again, like I've said, I love the two girls, I love the two leads so much. But you get to the end of the movie, right? And you get this huge graduation speech scene. And I was so underwhelmed. I was whelmed in Europe. And I just was like, what was all that for? It was such, I've never loved, it's like the dreams where you're trying to get somewhere and you can't and you're late for work and you're trying to scramble to get there. That's what this movie felt like.
You hate those types of movies though. Have we talked about this before that you really hate when it's like, why aren't they just going to get there?
Yeah.
Like it frustrates you.
It does frustrate
me. Yeah, I remember, I can't remember what movie that's come up with before.
Greatly disliked the car coming through the fence and that entrance that to me almost took me out of it.
Tom's like giggling.
It's truly like from the moment they get in the car and Run the Jewel starts playing, I'm like this last part of the movie is actually perfect to me.
No, because
like 11 out of 11
it's a bit
perfect.
Silly.
It's so silly.
I don't mind the silliness. I hate the fact that there's no emotional payoff. The last
speech is very undercooked.
So undercooked. What a letdown. And
but
I think
that's the point.
I think it's so minimal. I think she doesn't get up and go, I'm going to give you this massive 5 minute like
she's
with
just
weepy
close-ups. She's just been the most eloquent, fast, quick-witted, but yet emotionally intelligent person.
I agree.
And she's had all these experiences. Like that's the point of these films. Have you seen Accepted? Justin Long, he's just on that interview.
I have
the one where they invent a college, right? And it's the stupidest
you know
teen
his full movie. Name is not Justin Long, he's just not that into you, right?
That's his full name. That's
Long's
his birth
a weird
certificate.
Middle name. Yeah, go on.
Because it's like a preface for it's gonna be a long name.
Yes, I have seen this. Yep.
So the emotional speech he gives at the end of that movie, the stupidest teen movie of all time, the emotional speech he gives to
is that
summarize,
where it's like we're all fuck ups or something, and I can't remember exactly.
I don't remember, but I remember the sentiment that we're all we can do what we want, and it's beautiful, and let us explore and create.
Yeah,
it's such an emotional payoff for the ride you've been on, right? And I didn't get that with Booksmart, and I love when you say you want to get pancakes. Yes, fuck yes. Sorry, is it fuck yes, fuck yes?
I think so. I think
it's
she's
twice.
Like, yes, yeah. Fuck yeah.
No, she goes, okay, yeah, doesn't matter.
Something like that.
I think it's funny, but I was annoyed because I loved the two of them just getting emotional because what an interesting story to have two best friends and then they're going to be separated for a year and they're sort of processing, oh, I'm about to embark on my real life, right? And I'm going to be separated from these people. And that's heartbreaking. And then it's like, nah, let's have some pancakes. Oh, you know what? Don't worry about the emotional payoff. Don't
so
worry
think
about the weight
a bit
of it.
Too boisterous to.
Not too boisterous, but because after the speech at graduation, I was like, I just need something, right?
Mm.
And then the airport was that. And I was like, great.
Gotcha.
Got
gotcha.
It. Caitlin D was walking away doing the most distraught, harrowing.
And it's yet another reductive moment to sort of take away from it. I sort of see what you're
saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, don't weaken the emotion by putting a joke in. And it's fine.
The speech to me is because what's expected of her from her class group is to give this long-winded, very eloquent speech.
I didn't want long-winded.
I'm very, but well thought out, well planned, very meticulous because that's who she's been for such a long time.
Yeah.
And now for her to have gotten this party side of her out and for people to see that side of her now and then to come up to the speech and just be a bit undercooked, I think is kind of great in a weird way. But I see how you don't
but
feel the payoff.
But it's actually undercooked.
It lacks.
For a film.
Yeah.
Like the script itself is undercooked. Mm. I don't mind her feeling undercooked and that being the sentiment of the scene, but the script itself it was pretty weak.
So what she, in the shorter amount of time, she needed to say something far more impactful.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think what she said was impactful. I get what you mean that it's not. If you were like, okay, the speech was so good, what did she say? No, I really can't tell you what she says. It is very simple. You're right. It's basically like, this part's over now and that's sad, which sounds like something a child would say. And it gets me. I am moved by that. Yeah. Really moved when she's just like, there's no other way to say it. I'm not going to give you some grand pronouncement. I'm not going to quote poetry. I'm not going to fucking like, you know, tell you about your futures in a way that seems mystical and proverbial. I'm just going to tell you it's over now and that's really sad for us.
We got here.
But it was great. Wasn't it great while we did it? And even saying that now, I'm like, fuck yeah. It's such a nice, simple speech. And at the end when Caitlin Deva runs back and hits the car, my favorite thing about that is that when I'm watching it, I'm like wiping away a tear. Like, this is really sad and touching. And when she does that, I react the way that Beattie does. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and I stop crying to laugh and be like, she came back. She came back. She wants to have pancakes with her.
For an hour.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, fuck yeah.
So it doesn't make logistical sense.
Can I say that Caitlin's the actress I'm most excited to see more from?
1,000%.
Anything in particular?
Well, she is going to be in The Last of Us Season 2, which I can't wait.
Did you know that she's no stranger to Naughty Dog properties? Because do you know who else she has played?
Woof, woof. No.
She's Nathan Drake's daughter at the end of Uncharted 4.
I love her more now.
She's really good in that little epilogue at the end.
That's a game, Frank.
I know.
He heard Drake and he perked up, but no, not that
guy. Is
that
a car too?
I don't know anything about Drake.
No.
You would say that.
Anyway, she's amazing. They're both Teddy amazing. It's excellent. Can we do MVP?
Yeah.
MVP. I go first? I might as well.
Yeah,
I called it. Yeah.
You brought it in.
I actually think that's... I think it's too easy to say the two girls. So I'm going to go for a swing and say Skylar, who plays...
Skylar Gazondo.
Yep.
Who
plays Jared.
I'm so close to making it here.
He's my MVP.
Yeah.
100%.
I've got two. He's Caitlin so Dever, obviously.
Yep,
it feels a bit boring to say. The second one is Will Forte.
Will Forte has some of the funniest lines in it. So does Lisa Kudrow.
They are great. The scene where they've got the panda.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm going to come and rub my face on it. Like, it's like they know and they're just being great. It's so funny.
It's a shame you don't get to see more of them in the film. But it's not set up that way.
But I just love Will Forte so much.
Kath was so it's the parents from Easy A. And I was I see what you're saying, but those parents are cool. And these parents are like, if those parents were Mormon or something, like there was just something not right about these guys. I love the names he has for everything. Diplo Meatballs. Salah, me being your dad was the greatest art. And then they think that Caitlin Dever and Beanie are gay together.
Yeah.
And they're a little uncomfortable by it. And Caitlin Dever's like, no, we're probably just going to do like a Himalayan facial scrub. And Lisa Kudrow goes, well, I don't need to know other words. Which is a great line.
It's very good.
If we're going MVP for a line, though, the one that I remember the first time I watched it, I thought was
so
funny.
We're not, but we can, sure.
Jason Sudeikis driving them in the taxi or in the Uber, and then when they accidentally run the porn audio and it's just the most graphic, squelchy sounds you've ever heard. And it's a 10-second pause and he goes... Was that Cody B?
Was that Cody B?
Truly one of the funniest lines in a movie.
It was very funny.
He's really great. But yeah, I think Skylar or Caitlin. And I don't mean to be like Beanie's not.
She's good.
She's really good. She's really Caitlin good. Is on some other shit.
I think because Caitlin has, not that Beanie can't, but Caitlin can do anything.
I think so. I think she has more range in her silence, and she's sometimes the funniest of the two of them, which is shocking because Beanie's so exuberant.
Yeah.
But when Caitlin's being led to the cop car and they've got the footage of it and she's cracking wise with the cops.
Shotgun. Yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding. I don't have one. Yeah. Because that's a twofold. That's such funny. A good joke because.
Such a funny joke.
The joke is, you know, she can't sit in the front seat, right? Because it's a cop car, she's in the back. Yes. And also, no, I don't have
no,
a weapon.
No, I don't have a
I was like,
it's a complicated joke.
True. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, why is this so funny?
She's so smart. Funny. And so when they bring her back to the graduation and she, like, Molly lifts Amy's arms up and everyone's like, yeah! Like, that's the coolest the person hero. We
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And then she kisses Skylar.
Skylar... could easily have been a flop as well in terms of character development because of that first 40 minutes, as I said, where I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm behind this.
Mm.
I think that, again, I think Gigi was the reason that as a duo, I sort of by association didn't really vibe him. But then they give him some levels and layers and I was like, oh, well, there's more to this guy and that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but it came out of nowhere, right?
I
think it happened on the boat, right? Because she goes, you can't just buy people's love. And he's like, yes, you can.
You can.
And he starts to, which is so sad, and then starts to tell her like, well, you know, I like you. You try really hard and I like you, which is seems like a throwaway. But then later when he comes and sits with her at the party. And starts
I think that's where he won me over.
Also gets into some shit I would have thought you thought was hilarious, which is just like, I want to make musicals.
Yeah, of course
enough
I do.
Enough of the remakes. Enough of the revivals. We're sick of it already.
the audience deserves something new. Yeah,
it's so funny and random.
I did pick up when that happened.
Can I tell you what I didn't like about this film?
Yeah,
really
go on.
Didn't. I like where they were almost going with it with the mentor teacher, the fun, cool teacher.
Oh, yeah, Jessica Williams, Miss Fine.
And she hooks up. She's one of the writers, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Jessica Williams wrote it unless it's like she just did some random lines with it, but she's not credited as a writer.
She was a good character.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, absolutely right. I've just clicked names in a list and I've gone, I've clicked in the wrong
Can
order.
Can you say the other three writing? I'm sorry, Marcus, just the other
one. No, that's okay. Don't fuck me, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Emily Halpin, Sarah Haskins, Susanna Fogel, and Katie Sybil.
And that's essentially the order in which the first two did the draft in 2008. Then it was 2014, 2018. The teacher, Marcus, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm back. Fuck, sorry. I'm back.
That's okay.
I didn't really like the sleeping with a student subplot. I think it was unnecessary. And I don't care that he's a repeat grade thing. It just there's something really icky about it that, not to be overly sensitive about it, but I was like, why is this here? I don't need the...
We didn't need an extra jail? Extra joke.
I mean,
extra layer.
No, I don't think so. His character, I can't remember his name, but he's in Stranger Things as the same character, by the way.
Yeah, I've seen him in a handful of things and he doesn't, I think, know what movies are. I think he just goes like, oh, there are cameras here, great, and just kind of I think they just acts him. Like himself.
They pay him to be him, yes. Which is fine. He does that really well, but I think that it's sort of detracted from him in a weird way because he grows on you to a point and then I was like, now I don't really like you. If you're in his position, of course you're going to be feeling what he's feeling and totally take advantage of that. That subplot's a bit whatever.
It is strange. I agree that it feels a bit jarring. It normally just kind of makes me smile in a way that I'm just like, this is weird that this is in this, but I find her very charming. I like when she drops the girls off and does the, all right, see you guys inside. Wouldn't that be crazy? Crazy if I just went in but and it's like, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. And almost having her present at the party is great until it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Him taking his hair out.
Yeah. I like the fact that she sort of is there and sort of kind of goes with the flow for a little bit.
In a film that is so progressive and sort of. It just feels a little distasteful.
It does feel like it's hanging over from an... feels like it's hanging over from an early thing. I know what you're saying, Mike. Even when they do the, like, you're 21, right? It's like, yeah, but what are we... Or you're 20, right?
20, yeah.
What are we doing here?
Why are we trying to justify this?
But I have to admit it doesn't... And I don't know if it's just the vibe of the film as it is that it manages to take that component and the ick kind of gets wiped off it for me or it doesn't spread. I don't watch that and go, oh, my God. I'm just like... Yeah, weird inclusion, it's not my favorite plot line.
No,
in the movie.
This is actually my favorite bit. I think that they did the party argument so well,
really, so really well done.
So well, it's like one take and it builds, and you've got so many components here. This is a big pat on the back, I think, to the second AD or first AD in terms of directing their background actors. Mm. I think. Obviously, the director's going to be focusing on the girls and their interaction and whatnot. But having everyone and the timing of everyone very quietly stopping what they're doing and winding up their conversations to this very subtle and gradual silence, and you don't even notice it until you do, that everyone in the room's gone quiet.
And that they've started bringing their phones out as well. Yeah. And they've started filming Amy and Molly. And the fact that their argument is really upsetting already. And when it starts to cut out, it's almost the film kind of going like, you don't want to hear this. Like, they're going to say some really awful things to each other. Yeah. You get it. But the final thing is that close-up on Beanie very, very emphatically going, fuck you. Yeah. And you're like, don't need to hear that. I know what she said. Yeah. And that looked so mean. Great scene.
Yeah, it's a very good scene. That's the
I don't
scene.
Like it. You I don't think it's good. Did not land for me. Oh, I thought it came out of nowhere. No. And I was like, these girls would have cleared the air earlier.
No, because Malala, she called Malala and Molly's like, no, I'm not doing this. And she's like, but I did this for you earlier. You called Malala and I respected it and you're not going to show me that respect now? Mm. That's heartbreaking.
That wouldn't happen.
I can't rely on
but
you.
But that wouldn't have happened. They're too good of friends and they're too... you could say, well, it didn't. It couldn't have would. Huh?
You'd break Malala.
I don't have a Malala with any of you.
Sorry.
I just found it out of character and I was like, well, I don't really care for this because it felt contrived for the sake of the film.
Works.
Okay.
That's just my feelings, guys. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
I think you've lost the
also,
argument.
Also, like, little... I know we've, like, done with MVP a while ago now, but, like, little co-MVP to the music director. Like, whoever really was in charge of music supervision going, oh, this track will fit here, this track will fit here.
Yeah.
Just an amazing, impeccable soundtrack. When Skylar Gazondo pulls up and Death Grips is playing for like 5 seconds, it's like, dun, 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 dun. You're just like, yeah, perfect. Perfect song for this.
Have we been in the pantry yet?
And the Alanis Morissette. Yeah, we already did the pantry. Yeah. Remember when you blacked out and I talked for like 40 minutes?
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Have you spoken about why it didn't do well at the box office?
I mean, I think the main thing is there was an idea that this movie was going to have more appeal in the way that a film like Lady Bird did 2 years earlier. And they're like, this is a film that's going to appeal to young women, but it's also like a comedy, so it's going to get like the boyfriends along and it's got a bit of a raunchy sensibility. And I just think that type of film is hard to promote, hard to account for.
With two non-stars in the lead.
Yes. You're not even going, like, you could argue that Saoirse Ronan, when Lady Bird came out, it's like, yeah, she's kind of a known entity at this, or quantity at this point. She'd been nominated for an Oscar. Caitlin Dever was the girl from Justified. Beanie, for anyone who knew, was Jonah Hill's sister, and that was kind of it. And you couldn't even go, oh, but it's got this actor in it. Maybe the most appealing thing was Olivia Wilde. Maybe that was a big pull.
Yeah, her directorial debut.
And even that, I think a lot of people would have been like, who? And it's like, yeah, you know, from The OC. And they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, she's directed a movie.
Yeah.
I just don't think it had...
Was she in The OC?
Yeah, she dated Misha Barton for a while in like season 3 or something. What? Pretty sure Olivia Wilde's in it.
Wow.
I think it was also the era, not to say that this era is over, but 2019 was like the year of Endgame, right? It's the kind of year where it's like...
Yeah, you had Endgame, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man Far From Home.
So many. Aladdin, so many big,
which was a big one, the Lion King remake. That's what a lot of people say. It's like you had all these massive IP movies that everyone knows. So
maybe the peak of that, at least of the Marvel side of it, but just in general.
Well, Endgame
is. And so even if this movie didn't come out at the same time as those, which it wouldn't have because that would have been insane, but this movie coming out any time of the year, people would have been like, oh, that's not the one of the three movies I'm going to see this year.
Exactly.
What's the reason for that? I'm
oversaturated going to the cinema market, films. Strangely. Yes.
But it's a bit of a shame because I think this movie is really sweet and it paved the way, as I said, for a lot of great movies that have come recently.
So. We should also talk about Allison Jones.
We can.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Nope.
No.
Oh, casting by Allison Jones?
Oh, okay.
You've not seen that? On everything?
No.
Allison Jones
said that.
Casts every comedy that we know.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, she does.
Everything great. Like she's friends, she's done The Office and countless movies. All the Apatow sort of stuff. Yeah. She's in that world and she just casts so well. But I remember Ben Schwartz talking about her and she's just like the greatest and she just has a gift for picking people.
She and it's like, understands this is the brief better than most.
Than most. And the proof's in the pudding here. The casting here is spot on and unique and all these young, unknown people who just come in.
She's recognizing and boosting fresh talent as well.
Yeah, keep an eye out. Like, you'll see it now. Oh, Alison Jones. Oh, she did this as well.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
You're right, though, because Ryan is obviously a non-actor, just as someone who we haven't talked that much about, Ryan, who Amy has a crush on.
Mm.
She's got like two scenes. And she's got this weird habit of not really fully opening her mouth.
Oh, she cast Lady Bird and Barbie. Sorry, just
that makes sense. Well, yeah,
she and be Deep Impact. With
Greta. Okay, she's been around for a while then.
Yeah, she's
forever.
This girl Ryan is almost like a non-actor. She's almost so grounded and real.
It feels that you like can't understand her dialogue. Yeah, it's good.
I think it's really charming. I think it's really sweet that she's not got any of the mannerisms.
I'm being facetious.
I know. But she's not got any of the mannerisms of a typical actor. She doesn't seem like she's delivering dialogue. She's kind of like, at one point, she's like...
It's like a skater documentary and you've come across like just this person. Yes.
She's like a little Ryan Sheckler. You know Ryan Sheckler? He was like the kid skater who got famous at, I think, 11, 12.
Just doing word association with Ryan right now.
Yeah.
No, she looked like Ryan Dunn. You remember?
She's nothing like Ryan Dunn.
I'm done with this conversation.
Okay.
All right. I don't want to talk about it anymore. No one knows who Ryan Sheckler is. What's the point?
Okay. It's truly who, if you want to tell me who Ryan Sheckler is.
I'll show you later. It's just he's a kid who got famous at skating.
I'll check you
later. Yeah. This is so pointless. You're wasting everyone's time. Okay,
so I think Ryan's good. But I also think the casting for Nick is good. You know, these characters that don't have a lot of screen time, but you get it from, well, you think you get it, actually. The casting is genius in that you're like, I know who these people are. Mm. And the movie very quickly goes, they're not who you think they are.
You're wrong.
You are wrong.
And they can do it. They can play it. And you go, oh, I believe you still.
I think that all makes a lot of sense. I think this movie is so much fun. I think it's really sweet and I cherish it a lot. I think it's insane that I once thought it was my favorite movie, but just kind of having that moment, I appreciate you guys giving me that room to be like, this is why I must have thought that at some point.
I'm glad we did. It was so nice to hear. One scene I hated was when Amy's talking to the hot girl she likes, the mean one, and then Beanie's at the window.
Oh,
and she's like mouthing stuff in the window.
God,
Not funny. Didn't work.
Nah,
it's like so annoying. It's like, get out of here, Beanie.
Do you like the panda stuff?
Yes.
Does he tell you that he's in danger?
Oh, no, not that bit. I like the parents with the panda.
I like it where she's just like, quick cue. I love quick cue. That's something.
Quick question.
I'm sure it's something someone had said before this movie. But I say it
on my work chat all the time.
Quick cue.
Or you should do QQ. Is this even quicker? Is anyone going to throw anything in?
I'll go to like 9.6. I've talked myself up by 1.1.
Wow.
Not at all?
Yeah, of course I'm going to throw it in. Did you hear me that whole time? Yeah. Except, what did I give it for?
That's low, by the way, 4.5.
Yeah.
For a film that you sound like you kind of enjoyed but had problems with.
Six.
What am I going to do with all these sixes?
Well, I feel left out, so I'll just go up 8.6.
Yeah. You were on 8.0. Oh, you went 0.1. I was like, you're on 8.5. That's not one. No. Oh, gosh. Well done, you two. You really swayed me. Caitlin Dever swayed me.
Sway with me.
I knew you were about to start singing it. That's very good.
Were you Dirty Dancing?
Me?
Patrick Swayze?
I'm in the corner, I guess.
Sway.
We swayed?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
It's one of your worst bits. One of your worst episodes, Tom. Honestly, that was embarrassing for you and your friends. Do you have friends? Thank you for listening to Throwing the Power. My name is Frank.
My name is Marcus.
My name's Tom.
And we're not friends with Tom, apparently.
No, that's fine.
But we're pals.
But
we're
Frank has a lot of friends. You heard it here first.
Yeah, you too.
Frank, I want you to name 5 friends.
Go, quick fire.
But backwards.
If I go to Throwing the Power on Instagram, I'm sure we have some friends there. Send us a DM, please. We love you. Throwing the
Power. Confirm 0
avoiding
friends.
Avoiding the question.